On it. Rolling. We're live. It's a beautiful bottle. It sounded like your voice was disappearing as you were going. Listen, that's all that we do is just yammer on. It's the whole premise. Cheers to you. Cheers to you. You know, you blew me away. I mean, this is weeks ago now, but we've never actually been able to talk about it. Since it happened, I felt like I had a revelation, like a big one. And I texted you immediately and I said, Derek, I've got a game changing idea here. Doritos. New flavor. Extreme cheese. Extreme with an X, like X and then treme. Cheese, because like I've had Doritos bags where it's really cheesy, and I've had Doritos bags where it's not, and I can tell you that the more cheese, the better. So why isn't there just a Doritos flavor that's just loaded with the cheese powder? You fired back within 10 seconds, and you said Doritos with the Kraft cheese powder. It is. Pass, Derek. You nailed it. You nailed it. Those are two dynamite instant winners. I know, but listen, it's a gold mine. This is a gold mine idea. My cousin would open two mac and cheese boxes, and he would make one, throw the noodles out of the other, and he would use two cheese packets for one KD. But that's what you're paying for, though. You're paying for the cheese, the noodles. They're negligible. The price of the noodles is nothing. Listen, I agree. But I mean, I always thought that was the height of decadence. God. That's a true story. That's a true story. He threw me a sword, and he had one in his hands, and he unsheathed his and said, defend yourself, and proceeded to chase me around the house, swinging his sword wildly as I was just parrying as best as I could. I couldn't even get mine out of the scabbard. Oh, yeah. Well, I had to after that. I had to learn sword play. And like, he only stopped when he had me cornered in the dining room and he came in for the killing blow. And as he was doing like the big, huge overhand chop, presumably to slice me in two, he hit the chandelier. So he mashed the chandelier with his sword and immediately realized that his mom was going to kill him when she got home. And so he's frantically trying to pick up the pieces. And that's when I made a break for it. I saw my spot. Okay. What do you think of the state of indie movies, by the way? Because, like, they're done, right? Smart and cool and edgy and funny. Oh, I guarantee we would hate it. Little Miss Sunshine. Yeah. Hipster has been replaced with millennial. Millennial covers everything that hipster was and more, you could say. But we're talking about indie movies. Self-parody. A little too contrived, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, you're totally right. I mean, even in terms of like actors now, there's no lane for actors where it's like just comedy or just action or just drama. You kind of got to be able to do it all, right? You got to be like a multi-talented kind of like actor now to be like one of the big cheeses. Because you're going after quadrants, right? That's how like the movie Biz defines like an audience. It's quadrants, like men of a certain age, like I don't know, fucking 18 to 30, 30 to 60 or whatever, and then women, like 18 and so on and so forth. So you're trying to hit as many quadrants as possible. And so if you can do that in a movie, that's what, like you say, that's what we're seeing, these movies that are like action comedies and romantic comedies and drama comedies. By the way, okay, I watched a movie the other day. It was on Netflix, and it was a Christmas movie. I'm gonna read you out the cast here. I'm gonna try and remember it. Yeah, Amanda Seyfried, Ed Helms, John Goodman, Diane Keaton, Timothy Chalamet. Yeah, Christmas with Coopers, Meet the Coopers, something like that. It's so bad. The movie is totally insane. It's completely insane. Travolta? Oh, Nick Cage. Oh, well, no, he's doing crap because he's got all these tax things. Well, yeah, that too. But like, no, he, I don't know. He owes a bunch of money or something like that. And that's why he's doing all these movies. Yeah. He filmed the movie in my town. He got shot on the steps of like the courthouse here. It was the talk of the town for weeks. There's a couple of things. I think, like you say, A, you're right. We are getting older. We are seeing things clear. B, like you say, things are marketed differently now. You know, they're trying to just kind of capture as like broad as audience as possible. C, we grew up in a time where it was like, okay, Arnold Schwarzenegger is in this movie. That's all you need to know. That's it. That's all. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's in the movie. Come see it, you idiot. Why aren't you out the movie already? Like we grew up in the age of the A-lister. We're just a name. It's like, oh yeah, Jim Carrey's in this. I gotta see it. No, you're totally right. And like you're talking about too, you know, there's very little risk anymore in like big movies, right? Because there's so much riding on them. There's so much riding on these movies, you can't take risks. Because the kind of movies that we're talking about, like earlier, maybe not so much indie movies, but like these like mid, you know, budget kind of movies don't really exist anymore. There's like micro budget movies and then there's like big budget movies. And there's not a lot in between. Those in between movies were like the ones where you could take some chances, right? And so like what we're seeing is like movies that are playing it safe and like the ones that are not, when they fail, it's like they fail spectacularly. Think about The Last Jedi, which I want to say I hated so much, by the way. And like, but that movie was a swing. It was a swing for Star Wars, right? It's crazy. But like in all the wrong ways, in a way that I just thought was like so stupid. Yeah, what a movie. No, I'm not. I'm. Yeah. I get, I am, I am. Oh yeah, Amy Sedaris. Yes. Yes, the pilot. Yeah, love it. Listen, this is, I mean, this is part of it for me for that show is that. Jon Favreau, he's our guy. Love Favreau. Love Favreau. And he's a collaborator. And I like his vision. I like the decisions that he makes. And he's like one of the shepherds of the show, him and Dave Filoni, or however you pronounce his name, right? And it's like, I don't know. I like that he is casting outside of the box. Like Amy Sedaris, Bill Burr, those are comedians. Those are people that you wouldn't expect to see in a Star Wars movie, you know? And I like that he's like, like taking some chances. Because like you say, when you look at that show versus the movies, it's like you say, like they're just checking boxes off. It's more they're caretaking this movie. It's like the movies are just satisfying, like a base, and the show is more about like a creative endeavor, right? Right. Donnie Yen, man. Well, you know what? Listen, I'm not. I can't presume to know, but I think a show like The Mandalorian is showing places in the Star Wars universe that are kind of grimy and like outside of like the main Star Wars story, right? Like this is like the stuff that's happening in the background. These are like the sleazy corners of the universe, the places that people forget, places where like nothing important happens, right? And it's like the same thing. I think they're going after the same thing with the kind of people that they cast. They're not looking for like the classically trained actors, like British actors who are like, who are like traditionally filled those roles. It's just like, no, we're just getting regular guys. Like we were talking about. Yeah. By the way, secret sauce. How many places do you know employ a secret sauce? Right? It's like that's more of a common turn of phrase than it's an actual thing. I can't think of any place that has like a secret sauce anymore. We all know what the Big Mac sauce is. Just Thousand Islands. Can we drop the charade already and just call it Thousand Island? By the way, and this raises another point. Somebody told me the other day, oh, I hate to burst your bubble, but... And then they went on to like whatever they're saying. But it's like bubbles burst on their own. When have you seen a bubble that just exists? They just burst immediately. That's what they do. And this is the other thing. They didn't hate that they burst my bubble. In fact, they enjoyed it. And I want to say that the majority of time that phrase is used is somebody who is looking forward to bursting your bubble. Set up. I'm looking forward to taking you down. But I'm going to say this to, you know, listen, my hands are tied. I have no choice but to do this. So, this is Revisionist Film Story. We're your hosts. I'm Mike. And what we do is we each pick a movie a week. Derek picked this last week. And we examine old movies and see how well they've held up over time. Do they still have legs? Exactly. It's an important thing. And what movie did you pick this last week? The Fountain. Hugh Jackman. 06. Oh, man. You know, I've flipped and I flopped on that. I want to say Vice, but I don't have conviction when I say it. I'm just going to say Vice. Don't you speak a little German? I want to say that you do. I think German is a great language. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think he's Austrian, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, First Class. It's funny that you say that, because I feel the same way. The German accent doesn't get enough credit. I love me a good German accent. Well, it's like a lot of it sounds like English, but like with more punch. Like it's got more kind of, yeah, gusto to it. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, our language, this is going to get extremely boring, but our language is descended from German. The Anglo-Saxons, the Saxons came from Germany and then they went up into England. Yeah, it's a Germanic language. No way. That's awesome. You should go by Theoderic. You are our king. So, The Fountain. You watched it. Now, when was last... So, you watched it in preparation for the show. When did you watch it before that last? Now, what did you think when you watched it back in the day? Yeah, give me your thoughts on the rewatch. So it sounds like the first time you saw it, it was a little out of reach. Right, it got a big release, right? This wasn't an art house movie. Yeah. You know what? I would totally agree. I watched this movie at home back in the day, like, you know, after it was released, after it came out on home video, DVD. That's when I saw it. And same with you. I knew that it was a good movie, an interesting movie, but I didn't understand it. Watching it back this time, one of the first things I thought was, I wish I could be watching this on a big screen. Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, there's a lot of meat in this movie. It's interesting because like this movie is layered with depth, but it's also very straightforward as well. In that, like, the you know, when you think about the characters, like especially like Hugh Jackman, you know, he's the main character, he's the driving force of this movie. You know, you don't know a lot about him other than his love for his wife and how much that drives him and everything that he does, right? But there's not a lot of like shading of his character where you're seeing more of him and really kind of understanding him, right? This movie is asking bigger questions about life and death, death especially, right? And like that's where the depth comes in. But as far as like a character, you know, kind of aspect to this movie, you know, he's kind of a one-note person. I think they're the same. You can even think about it like the stages of grief. But like the, I don't know if you thought this, but as I was watching the movie, I thought, well, you know what? I want to see a movie that's just the conquistador. Right? I mean, that'd be a good movie. I think that would be a good movie, right? That's a good point. That is a good point. That's good. That's good. And it's true. We think so kind of, you know, conventionally about these things, right? It's like when you see movies that take place in the future and like everyone is wearing the same clothes and they're driving the same cars and like everything is like pristine. Well, it's like, that's nothing like our world. It's like, you know, like we're living in the future right now and like we're filthy and like stupid, you know? So what's to say the future's not going to be exactly the same? Now, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on Hugh Jackman. Is Hugh Jackman a good actor? Well, I would agree. And the through line, I think, through all of like Hugh Jackman's best performances, best characters, is that intensity. Like when he is like playing that really intense kind of character, somebody who's almost like borderline, like unhinged, you could even say. Like, I feel like that's like the best version of him. When he's like trying to play like a regular person, it just, it never seems believable, right? Oh yeah, for sure. Well, and that's another, well, and that's like, that's a good performance for him, because like that was a man who was driven to such a crazy degree that he's willing to like do anything, you know, to be the best, right? And that's why I think it's one of his better performances, you know, and you could say the same with Wolverine, I guess, right? But it's like anytime where like Hugh Jackman is playing like a romantic lead or just like a guy, oh yeah, like, you know, Kate and Leopold. You know what? I watched the trailer and I thought, yeah, there might be something here. All the best scenes in the trailer are from the last 2 minutes of the movie. Yeah. Ugh, it was eh. This is digression, but okay, our boy Jon Favreau, he used to have a show on AMC. Like, this is back when like AMC, like pre-Walking Dead, pre-Breaking Bad and all that. He used to have a show on there, and what he would do is he would just It's like Round Table or some shit. And what he would do is he would just get like his Hollywood buddies to sit with them, and they would just shoot the shit around a table. Are you sure? He does Chef. He does the Chef show. Where did you see it? Like, if it was on YouTube, then it was probably, yeah, then it was like a clip of that show. I don't think he's still doing that. That show is like, that's like 10 years ago or more. I don't know. Isn't that cool? Just like, there's no point to the show other than just talk about like the kind of creative process and just like pick it, like the brains of like these like creative people. No, I don't even know what you're talking about. Vigo. That's cool. I would watch that. Anything long form, right? Then you get like a broad picture. It's like this podcast. Oh, man. Stanley Tucci, like we talked about, man. Always happy to see him. Yeah. Oh, man, he's just an OG. Always happy to see him show up. You know those, like, you know those quotes people post on Facebook? Where it's like somebody will take a picture of, like, Sam Elliott with, like, the cowboy hat and be like, you know what is, like, crazy about libs? And then, like, we'll say, like, you know, something like smarmy, right? I saw one the other day. Of Stanley Tucci. It had a picture of Stanley Tucci and he was like adjusting his cuff link, you know, and he's looking sharp. And it was, you know, it was like some like idiotic quote about success, you know. But I was like, well, this is good. I like this. I normally hate these, but this one has a Stanley Tucci picture behind it. And I'm in. Yeah, I'm sold on it. Exactly. I find a lot of those have Tom Hardy these days. Well, that's the thing. It's like these life lessons are never actually the person like whose picture they're using. It's just, yeah, exactly. It's just like, for sure. He seems like a regular guy. They're saying that as a compliment. But like, if you were to say that to a regular guy, it'd be like a huge insult. You'd be so offended if somebody just said, oh, yeah, you're just a regular guy. If you looked at me in the eyes and said, Mike, you know what? You're a regular guy. Like, what's wrong with you? Yeah, rate just average. Average. Oh, yeah, the fountain. The fountain. Yeah, you know what? I really liked it. Circling back to it, you know. And this movie, to me, has legs. Like, you know, this is the movie that's not made anymore. This is a movie that's like a big swing, a big creative risk, something that's totally, you know, just really driven by one man's kind of vision, right? Darren Aronofsky. Like, this is like a total passion project that, like, has got some, like, it's got like a decent budget behind it. It's got like a really solid cast. And like, you can tell that there's money in this movie. And like, I feel like we're talking about, like, you just don't see this movie made anymore. One five. Hated it. Roper. God damn you, Roper. Yeah. What did he say? Well, and it's a hard sell, too, because this movie is dealing all about death. And there's no real happy ending at the end of the movie that kind of brings it all around. It just ties a neat little bow on it. This movie is just about loss, right? And there's no more powerful... It's like... That's a hard... emotion to deal with and a hard one to sell as a movie, right? You know, we watched What Dreams May Come. That was your pick. Interesting. Yeah, but like that movie, same kind of thing, right? Like it, same kind of vibe. I don't know. It's like, it's hard to engage your average person to talk about something like as hard as death, right? For sure. Push back. Yep. Things like, well, art can, be the medium for a feeling better than words alone can, right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like a movie like this captures that, right? Like this movie is all about capturing feeling like grief, right? And loss. And, and it's more than just the imagery, the acting, the story. It's like an amalgamation of all of it. And, the score I love. And that really hit home watching it this time. Of course. For sure. You can't separate the two, right? Like they're tied, like the movie and the soundtrack are tied together, and you really get the emotion from the two. It reminded me a lot of Interstellar. I know they're totally different movies, but like the feel that I got from both of them was similar. And I don't think we saw The Fountain together, but I know we saw The Wrestler together. Yeah. That was a great movie. I would watch that again. Well, and no, for sure. And it's interesting that Aronofsky did Noah, I don't know, like however many years later. No, God, no, not at all. Movie's jacked up. You know what? How do you feel about Darren Aronofsky? For sure. For sure. Because that movie's like a character study, right? No, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, ugh. That movie, it, grotesque, right? Yeah, I think we saw that together. Got a nice Vincent Cassell performance in it. Me too. Yeah, you know what? I went into The Fountain expecting not to really like it a whole lot, just based on kind of like my vague memory of the movie. But I really enjoyed it. And yeah, this is one that I feel like I want to come back to, you know, every couple years. I did. Really? Oh, yes. 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 Yeah, that. And the guy from Sunshine. He's like in the conquistador storyline. Yeah, that's the one. She's no wait. Seed Last Dance. Yes. Yes. That's it. Interesting. That's cool. Well, there's a lot of meat. There's a lot of meat on these bones. That's a sign of a good movie. Right? You know, it's not just you know, the runtime, but also what it provokes after you see the movie. You know, any movie that can stick with you for days afterwards, that can provoke thought and feeling, is a good movie, I would say, right? It's like you would see, we've all seen movies that you wouldn't necessarily say is a great movie, but you still linger on for days afterward. And like, I would say that makes it a great movie. Like, Midsommar is something that I can't shake that movie. I know the one. Yes. Yeah. A 100%. Totally agree. A+ movie. Yeah. Yeah. And I think this one will continue to age well the further along we go. So next week is my choice. Do you remember The Fugitive with Harrison Ford? You love that movie. Okay, let me rephrase that. That was a beloved movie. You didn't love it? No, I'm not. I am choosing the sequel to The Fugitive. U.S. Marshals. What? Get out of here. Who? Because who remembers U.S. Marshals? Okay, I can't. Tommy Lee Jones, Wesley Snipes. Yeah. Right, yes, that guy. Yeah. I'm so glad you're in. Yeah, I can't wait to watch this movie. Oh, man. This is good. This is a good one. Oh, beautiful. Okay, good. Good. Excellent. All right. Well, this has been Revisionist Filmstory. Film story. Filmstory. Film revisionist filmstory. Mike. Derek Gladwell. Malcolm's a good name. Okay. I just So apparently Frankie Muniz is like a race car driver, and he claims that he's had so many like concussions from like, you know, driving that he doesn't remember all of Malcolm in the Middle. You know what? That's a great question. That is a great question. Because, when, no, you're right. It's like he's just nonstop just mashing his car into a wall. The way it's framed, the way that the article that I read was framed, and I've seen this article multiple times, this factoid that he doesn't remember any of Malcolm in the Middle. Dude, I just love the way that pops. It is due to all of his concussions from his race car gig, right? But let's say you were a child star, and let's say you were on a show that you don't want to talk about anymore. Isn't the perfect excuse just to say, "Oh, I've got this brain injury. I don't remember any of it." Right? It's genius. Who's gonna call him out on it? You think about Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who we were talking about earlier. He's probably been bombarded by idiots like me all day. No, you're right. I was held back. Look, it was not by choice. And like I told you, that's one of the biggest regrets I have in my life, is that I didn't immediately confront him with the list of questions that I have, specifically about Tim Allen. Oh. That one hurts, because he was just standing right there. He was just standing there. We're just looking at him. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, like, you think about Hugh Jackman. He can't go anywhere, and he's sick of it. He's sick of people coming up to him and talking to him. La Bamba, he would have loved it. That would have made his day if we just cornered him and talked to him for like half an hour. No, no, I know. And we were on our way to see a Hugh Jackman movie, X-Men Origins. No, it wasn't American Gangster. We're... That was wild, because it was a packed theater. It was a packed theater. You saw the tats and you made a judgment call. And I'm going to say you made the right call. Yeah. Look, he's happy. I'm happy that he's happy. Yeah, but you know what? You taught me a move that I I still employ to this day. We would be, you know, you and I, we've watched a million movies together. And like, you know, sometimes we go out before a movie and grab a bite to eat. And some of those times we would grab something that your average person would say is disgusting, you know. And, well, you know, something filled with garlic, let's say, right? Maybe not disgusting, but just disgusting to smell after the fact. And you did this move where if you had to burp, you do it in your mouth, and then you would lean your head back and blow it above you, you know, like a cloud, right? A way to just kind of siphon it off into the atmosphere, right? So you're not just like... Exactly. And I've taken that and I've run with it, and that's made a real difference in my life. Right? Yeah. Well, and it seems like you're doing the polite thing. Yeah, just fired out the side, yeah. You know what? Look, I'm going to say it right here. That, like, a certain kind of burp is 1,000 times worse than someone cutting one. Yeah, it's like there's more information that's transmitted in a burp than a fart. Do you know what I mean? It's like a fart will just smell. You know, it's like, oh, God. Like, okay, yeah, someone cut one, you know. But like a burp, it's like, oh, is that curry and beer and like cabbage? Like, what am I smelling? Ketchup? Did you have ketchup? Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's a good note to end on. U.S. Marshals next week. I think it's Marshals. Yeah. All right. Done. Now.